Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Told you it was a good Friday show. This hour, it's kids open forum. If you're a kid, whether you're in the single digits or the double digits, any kid, if you're in your teen years and you're, what do they call the ones before the teen years? Your aughts? I don't know what those are called. Tweens? Oh, yeah. Tweens. Anyway, if you got a question about the Catholic faith and you're about that age and you have permission to dial the phone, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Maybe you'd like to know something about one of the sacraments, maybe something about why we have confession or what we are supposed to do in confession or about confirmation or about the Eucharist. All of those calls are welcome. Maybe you'd like to know something about the Bible, what Catholics believe about the Bible or where the Bible came from or what the Bible says. Or you may have a more generally philosophical or religious question about God or about Mary or the saints. All of those are welcome. 888-318-7884. You just got to be a kid. That's all. And then you are welcome. Our guest to take your calls this hour is Dominican Father Paul Jerome Keller. He is professor of sacramental theology at Mount St. Mary's of the West Seminary in Cincinnati, Ohio. He is the past president of the Society for Catholic Liturgy. He's the author of several things, including 101 Questions and Answers on the Sacraments of Healing and the brand new book, which, Father, I will allow you to give the title of because it is slipping my brain at the moment.
A Year with the Eucharist.
A Year with the Eucharist. Okay. A Year with the Eucharist.
Good to be with you.
Thank you, Father. I'm delighted to have you. And I'm wondering, is this your first experience with Kids Open Forum?
It is. I'm excited because I know the questions will be more challenging than usual.
Did Darren tell you that because, or you just know that?
I just know that from talking to kids.
Yeah.
or young people, I should say.
Right. The two things that happen are you get very direct questions in general, and they're very profound.
Yeah.
So
I can imagine.
So I will tell you this, Father. Before we did this show, we have a letter from Maura Gallagher, who is a catechism teacher, and she wanted some of her kids to get their questions answered on the air, and then she'll share that with the families. So we got questions from St. Mary's of the Assumption Church and from Maura, from Nicholas, Lily, Cece, Layla, and Thomas. And I had to just pick one to get us started. So are you willing to take a question from Ms. Gallagher's class?
Sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, okay. So I just randomly selected Lily's question. And Lily, thank you for the question. What is the bread and wine at Mass for?
What is it for? It is, how old is this young person?
These are second graders.
Second graders, okay. So that I can tailor my answer to age appropriate. The bread and the wine are there in order to be changed by the priest, by Christ through the priest, into Jesus' body and blood. That's the most basic answer, but that's what they're for, too, because they are the sacrament that is Jesus told us to use and that he used when he first made the Eucharist on Holy Thursday night, when he instituted the Eucharist. He used bread and wine, and so we continue at Mass to use bread and wine to become his body and blood, because he tells us in the Gospel that at the Mass, that when we take bread and wine, when the priest, I should say, takes bread and wine and says Jesus' special prayers and words over those elements, that they become his body and blood.
Lily, thank you for that question, and thank you for all those questions from Ms. Gallagher's class in Katona, New York. And Father, now the calls have lit up our phones. Should we go to kids on the phone?
Sure.
All right.
Exciting. I'm kind of nervous, actually.
I feel the same way during Kids Show. I feel like, I hope they don't stump us. Father Paul Jerome Keller is our guest, and our first caller is Daniel in San Antonio, Texas. Daniel, are you there with us?
Hello?
Hello, Daniel. How old are you?
13.
All right. Daniel, your your question for Father.
Okay. So if the Pope's like the holiest guy, why can't he walk on water and heal people like Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good question, Daniel. First of all, Daniel, I hate to burst your bubble, but popes are not necessarily the holiest guys on the face of the earth. Not all popes become saints. Some do. So, for instance, Pope John Paul II was canonized a saint recently, and Pope Paul VI before him. But not all popes are really the holiest guys on earth. They are selected to be the successor of St. Peter, who was the first pope, the first vicar of Christ. A vicar is someone who stands in the place of someone else. So when we say that a pope is the vicar of Christ, we mean that he's standing in the place of Christ in terms of his authority over the church, as Peter had that authority. But it is possible, and historically we've had some popes who weren't the greatest guys, actually. And so if you do a little reading on, say, Pope Alexander VI, you'll see what I mean. Now, given that they're not necessarily the holiest guys on earth, even if they were, what would be the point of walking on water? Actually, healings do take place. So why don't they heal? Healings can take place through anybody, not just the Pope. But in terms of walking on water, what do you think, Daniel, would be the point of walking on water? What would that accomplish?
I don't know. Showing people that God's real, I guess.
Yeah. See, the thing is, even though Jesus walked on water, and we have the testimony from the scriptures about that, the people in his time still disbelieved him, and he's the Son of God. So if the Pope did that, I don't know that it would have that much more of an effect. If the Son of God, who walked on water, who cast out demons, who healed all kinds of people, who raised people from the dead, and even then they wouldn't believe him, I have a feeling that we're not very different from those kinds of people in our own age, and that people still would not believe, even if there were. And there, I tell you what. So here's some, Daniel, here's some other miracles. So have you heard of Our Lady of Lourdes, for instance, in France? Have you heard of that apparition of the Blessed Mother?
No.
No. Okay, so our Blessed Mother appeared to this young lady and told this young lady, whose name was Bernadette, to go and dig, to go and drink from a stream. Well, there was no stream, so this girl starts digging in the mud, and the people were laughing at her. But eventually, this miraculous stream happened. So, and people go to Lourdes, France, even now, to be bathed in that water and to drink that water because of its miraculous powers. But a lot of people don't. They could go and be healed. They can be healed by the Holy Eucharist. Do you know that a lot of healings actually happen when people are being blessed with the Eucharist and when they take the Eucharist as at Mass? Great healings happen. So our Lord wants to heal us, and he wants to do great things in our lives, but it's not always in the spectacular form that sometimes we would like to see.
Daniel, I hope that was helpful to you. Thank you very, very much for that call. Now, Father, at your current age, have you given up walking on water, or do you still feel like you can get out there and...
I just make sure it's frozen.
Oh, yeah, I guess that happens there in Cincinnati, huh?
Yes, unlike the beautiful weather they have in San Diego.
Yeah, right.
Did I ever tell you? I have to tell you this really quick story.
Sure.
If I may.
Yeah.
So I went out to San Diego to do a Catholic Answers Live show, thinking, oh, this would be great. I had a few days off, and I had never been to San Diego. We had some Dominicans there once upon a time, and I went to stay with them, and I thought, oh, it'd be fun to do a show in the studio. I went out there, and the host, who was not you at the time, took the day off, and guess what? Where the host was who did the show that night?
Cincinnati?
He was in Cincinnati.
So yeah, I guess so. You could have just stayed home and done the show.
I could, I flew from Cincinnati to San Diego to do the show, and he's not there. So I'm sitting in the studio by myself, and the host is in Cincinnati. It was absolutely crazy.
Well, I can tell you, Father, if I ever hear that you're coming out here, I will go a lot farther than Cincinnati. That will... 888-318-7884 is our number. Father Paul Jerome Keller is our guest this hour. And if you are a kid, your question is welcome. It's open forum. Any question at all is welcome. 888-318-7884. And I'll remind you again, we've got that free ebook for you, Cleansing Fire, Purgatory in Scripture, History in the Church. Just head over to the Catholic Answers Facebook page right now. Download your free copy of Cleansing Fire, Purgatory in Scripture, History and the Church.
Hi, this is Trevor Williams from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
All kids this hour with any question at all about the Catholic faith, 888-318-7884, the number. Father Paul Jerome Keller, our guest, and up next is Joseph in Oregon. Joseph, are you there with us? Hello, Joseph?
Hi.
Hi, Joseph. How old are you?
10.
All right. Your question, please, for Father Keller.
So I was wondering, if a baby dies before they are baptized, does that mean they still go to heaven?
You know, Joseph, that is a fantastic question, and I get that question all the time, not just from young people such as yourself, but from adults, from my students. I teach at a seminary, and so it's a very important question. Are you familiar with the Catechism of the Catholic Church at all, Joseph? Joseph?
Yeah.
You are?
Do you know the Catechism? Have you heard of the Catechism of the Catholic Church? No,
no.
Maybe not. Okay, that's okay. But it's a book that has a lot of the teachings, almost all the teachings of the Church in it. And there is a certain paragraph there, and for anyone else who's listening who does want to look it up in the Catechism, it's paragraph 1261 or section 1261. And in the Catechism, Joseph, and what the Church teaches is that, first of all, baptism is required for salvation. That's first and foremost. Secondly, we don't know, and this is one of those few things, or one of the things that the Church actually does not know. Even the Pope does not know what happens to people who die without baptism, and especially babies. But the Catechism says that children who've died without baptism are entrusted by the Church to the mercy of God. So we entrust them to God's mercy, but we also say at the same time that God loves everybody so much, and especially children. And we know that because Jesus would take the children and hug them, right? He would often draw the children to himself. Jesus, when before his death, resurrection, and ascension, when he was walking the earth, would loved to have children around him. And so it stands to reason that children who die without baptism are taken by God into his mercy, right? And it would seem that they would be in heaven. Now, the Church doesn't say they are in heaven, and I'm not saying that they are absolutely, because I cannot say more than the Church says, but We do know that God wants to draw everybody to himself, and especially little children who have never committed a personal sin, but who have not been baptized and still would have original sin to deal with. Does that help, Joseph?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Joseph. You're a very pleasant person to talk to, Joseph. Appreciate that call. We go now to Patrick in Michigan. Patrick. Are you there with us, Patrick?
Yeah.
And how old are you, Patrick?
7.
Well, we're glad you called, Patrick. What is your question for Father?
Is it okay to be scared when you die?
Oh, Patrick, yes. Yes, absolutely. It's okay to be scared on the one hand. On the other hand, we also can be full of confidence that God loves us and that we're going to be with God, especially at your age, Patrick, at the age of 7. I want you to know that God loves you so much and that he wants you to be with him. So especially at your age, if you were to see God, there would be nothing at all to fear on the one hand, right? But can I ask you a question, Patrick? What makes you think about this right now, about being scared to die? Is there
Patrick?
Something happening?
Just
thinking about it in general? Well, it's a good question at any rate, Patrick. And I want you to be assured that it can be a scary experience, but also Jesus is always waiting for anyone who is going to die. He's waiting with open arms to receive that person. If they want to see Jesus, he will take them in his arms. Does that help a little bit, Patrick?
Yeah.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you very, very much for that call. We appreciate it. It is Kids Open Forum today. And up next is Isabella in San Antonio, Texas. Isabella, are you there with us?
Yes.
And how old are you, Isabella?
8.
Oh, well, we are delighted to have you with us, Isabella. What's your question for Father Keller?
What's God's favorite thing to do?
God's favorite thing to do? Well, his most favorite thing to do is to love us. God just so enjoys loving the creatures that he's made. He loves the human beings. He loves angels. He loves his son, Jesus. He loves the Holy Spirit. God, the Father, is just full of love. So his favorite thing to do is to love, which is what we're going to experience when we're with him forever in heaven. So that's pretty great, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Isabella.
Okay.
Thank you, Isabella. Thank you very much. I thought you were going to say his favorite thing was to listen to Catholic Answers Live, but I guess that would be self-serving to say something like that. But there's always a 20 in it for you, Father, if you get tempted.
Listen, I have to be truthful with the kids.
Okay, good, good point. All right. Oh, so it's like you took some kind of vow to share the gospel of love or something? Is that what this is?
And truth. Very tough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I said love. I'm going to share something like a Franciscan rather than a Dominican.
Are Dominicans meaner than Franciscans?
No. Franciscans are extremely mean.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm glad we cleared that up. Next up is Ellie in North Dakota. Are you there with us, Ellie? Hello, Ellie.
Is it Ellie or Eli?
Or is it Eli? I'm sorry, Eli.
It's Eli.
Eli, I'm sorry. That was terrible.
Okay.
I just read it wrong, Eli.
It's okay.
How old are you, Eli?
8.
And did you get any snow in North Dakota this year?
What?
Did you get any snow in North Dakota this year?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. Eli, what is your question for Father Keller?
Do animals have a home in heaven?
This reminds me of a question, Eli, that we had last week.
We just had this question last week. So, Father,
are you related to anybody in Columbus? No. So, do animals have a home in heaven? Well, we do know in the Old Testament that God says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And we don't know what it's going to look like. So when the world ends, he's going to make something brand new for all of us, and we'll have our resurrected bodies, and we're going to be enjoying God forever. And having, it's going to be something like a huge, never-ending party in heaven, so to speak. Will there be animals there? I suppose it's possible. No one has ever said yes or no one way or the other, on the one hand. On the other, you know what I was thinking about recently, though, Eli, when someone asked us this question in a different way last week, I was thinking to myself, what was it like in the Garden of Eden, and what were the animals like? And that was a paradise. And then I started thinking about heaven being a paradise, a new paradise. So I don't know what God is going to do for us, but it's going to be pretty amazing. And if there were animals there, they would be the coolest animals ever.
How's that, Eli?
Does that answer your question?
Is that a good answer, Eli?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
Great.
Well, thank you for calling us.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye, Eli. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. If you're a kid and you have a question about the Catholic faith, this hour is for you. Father Paul Jerome Keller earning his money this hour.
How do you divide zero?
Yeah, well, that's your problem, Father. I don't know.
Hey, here's a joke for everybody.
Okay.
What did the zero say to the eight?
I have no clue, Father. What did the zero say to the eight?
That's a really cool belt you have.
I'm so glad you told that on today's show. That was a perfect joke for today's show.
Especially for kids, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like me.
I think we can get another caller in before we have to go to the break. If you'd like to call with your question for Father, 888-318-7884 is the number. We go now to Alexa in Massachusetts. Alexa, are you there with us?
Yes.
Oh, and how old are you, Alexa?
I'm 7.
All right, Alexa, what is your question for Father Keller?
How did God become God?
Wow, that's a great question, Alexa. Well, God always was God. He didn't become God. He always existed. And that's hard for us as human beings to understand because we don't know anything that has always existed. Even the world that we live in, the earth, has a beginning because God created it. And we know that you have a beginning. You were born. I have a beginning. I was born. But to try to think of somebody that was never born but was always just there is God. And so he didn't become God. He always was God and never had a beginning. That's the easiest way to explain it. Apart from giving you a very thick volume on the theology of the Blessed Trinity, I think that is probably the surest and clearest answer. Does that help, Alexa?
Sorry, Alexa. Did that answer help you, Alexa?
Yes.
Oh, nice. That was a nice, clear yes. You got a very good review on that one,
That's
Father.
Good. Praise the Lord.
That's what we mean, though, and we're not joking when we say it. And you said it at the beginning, Father. The questions that a 7-year-old will ask you are often the very hardest theological questions.
They are. How did God become God? I mean, I bet you adults think that, but they used to think it, and then they got too busy with other things. So this show is great because it makes us get back to our basics and think about what is most real and most true.
But it's also, I noticed that I think at least twice today you've had to tell kids either it's a very hard question and we can't, you know, fully exhaust the answer, or we just don't know. And that's also important for us to as Catholics to communicate that to kids, to everybody. We don't have all the answers.
Right. Yes. Only God has the answers, and we need to go to him for those answers.
I'm willing.
Okay, let's go.
Father Paul Jerome Keller is our guest. Father Keller's latest book is A Year with the Eucharist. Father is a Dominican priest in Cincinnati, Ohio, and if you have a question for him and you are not old enough to vote yet, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. More with Kids Open Forum right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew she wanted those things, that in them, somehow, she would find God. Over the years, as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Friday edition. And one of our favorite things to do on a Friday is take an hour and just take calls from the younger set. And so if you are, you know, somewhere around 1 year old, 2 years, 3, 4, 5, 17, 18, anywhere in that range, we have not had a lot of 1 year old callers. Have you, Nick? Have we had? It's a very, I don't know what's going on with one-year-olds, but they seem to not really take much of an interest in theology, at least thus far. But we're willing to take that call. Father Paul Jerome Keller is our guest this hour, and he's answering all those calls, and he's thanking the Lord right now that for his PhDs and licentiates and all those things so that he's prepared to answer questions like where is God and that kind of thing. Michael, you are up next. Michael's in Oregon. Michael, are you there with us?
Yes.
And how old are you, Michael?
I'm 10.
You're 10. And your question, Michael, for Father Keller.
If God knows everything, then why did he create the devil if he wants everyone to be with him in heaven?
Oh, very good question, Michael. You have one of the most important questions that we could try to get to today, and that is, if God knows everything, why did he make the devil? So, first of all, let's clear things up. The devil, before he was the devil, was a good angel, or was an angel. I shouldn't say he was a good angel, but in the instant, this is a very interesting thing, Michael, and I don't know, I hope you can understand it. I'll try to explain it. And it is this, that when angels are not like human beings, right? They don't have bodies, for instance. They're pure spirits. So unlike you and me, the angels don't have any bodies. And so they're just kind of all like thinking and willing. And in the instant that God creates an angel is the instant that the angel chooses for or against God. Unlike human beings, right? So we're created in time, and we have a history, and we can make up our minds, but we can change our minds because we have bodies, and we have the material world to deal with. So sometimes you and I make good decisions. Sometimes you and I make bad decisions, and when we make a bad decision, we can try to change our mind and say, oh, that wasn't good. I'm going to go do something else. That does not happen for an angel. When an angel is created, it chooses for or against God instantaneously. And what's even more amazing about angels is that they cannot change their minds. Once they decide something, whatever they decide, it's like set in stone, even though there's no stone for angels, right? So nothing can change for an angel once they've made up their mind about something. So there was this angel that God created named Lucifer, and Lucifer, in the instant that he was created, turned against God and got a whole bunch of other angels to turn against God, and kind of got his own army going and decided to rebel against God. That's where the devil comes from, right? He wasn't originally bad. He had the choice to choose for God or against God. You and I have a choice to choose for God or against God. And when we make bad decisions, we get to go to confession and ask God's forgiveness, and he forgives us in the sacrament of penance. But angels cannot do that because they're a different kind of being altogether. So God wanted Lucifer and every angel he's ever created to be in heaven, but they had a decision to make. They had a free will, just like you and I have a free will, and they chose against God. I think one of the things that's pretty amazing, Michael, is that God creates beings with free wills to begin with, like, because he knows full well that we can get ourselves into trouble with our free will. But the beautiful thing about a free will is that it's made always to choose the good. Now, I'm not going to ask you on international radio to tell us whether or not you've ever done anything bad, so don't worry about that. But I can tell you this, that with our free will, God always wants us to choose the good, to make a good decision so that we can be happy. Unfortunately, we don't always do that. And if that ever happens to you, unlike the devil, you can go to confession. Does that make sense, Michael? Michael, are you there?
Yes.
You were thinking
yes,
pretty.
Yes, I am.
You are? And did that answer make sense to you?
Yes.
All right. Are you named after one of these angels?
Yes.
Oh, I thought maybe.
Michael the Archangel.
Right.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much, Michael, for that question. Does it mean that he's the boss of all the angels, if he's the archangel, or does that mean
well,
something?
Well, he's got a special rank.
Oh.
He certainly is the major fighter against the devil. We know that.
Right. Let us go now to Aubrey in Florida. Aubrey, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Aubrey. How old are you?
Five.
You are five. Oh, you are our youngest caller so far today, I think. Aubrey, what is your question for Father Keller?
How do we see God?
How do we see God?
How do we see God? Well, we can see him when we go to heaven, certainly. That ultimately, Aubrey, that's how we will see God, when we get to be in heaven with him. The fancy word for it, for those who are older, is the beatific vision. And it means that we get to We get to see God face to face. We get to talk to God face to face for all eternity. So the way we get to see him is by going to heaven. And we get to see him a little bit now when we see the world around us and the things that he's made. We can say, oh, wow, look it, there's a beautiful sunset. God made that. And so we get to, we have a kind of an insight or a glimpse into God and who he is for us. But we also see God in we kind of see the face of God in other people too, don't we? Like your mom and your dad, or if you have brothers and sisters, God is in them. And so there is a way in which we are seeing God in other people too. And that's why we should always have great respect for all other people.
Okay, Aubrey?
Okay.
Okay, thank you,
Aubrey. I tried to explain it to her because she always said, I want to see God's face now. I want to see him now. I said, well, you don't want to see his face right now. You want to have time to grow and understand what life is about. And then later on in life, you will get that chance to see him.
You know, it's beautiful that you have a child who wants to see the face of God, though. That's you're very blessed,
yes.
And you must be a wonderful mom. And thank you for letting Aubrey call us. Thank you very, very much. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Father Paul Jerome Keller is our guest. And next up is Nico in Washington State. Nico, are you there with us?
Yeah.
And how old are you, Nico?
Nine.
You're nine, and do you have a question, Nico?
Yeah. Why was God praying to himself in the Garden of Gethsemane?
What a great question.
What a good question, Nico. All right, so Jesus is God, and you're right about that, right? So, but he's the Son of the Father. You've heard of the Blessed Trinity, right, Nico?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Blessed Trinity means that there are three persons in one God. So there's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the Son became man, right? The Son of the Father who was always God and with God, with the Father in heaven. At some point, like about 2,000 years ago, took on human flesh and lived among us and died for us and rose from the dead. Now, that's Jesus. So Jesus is the Son of the Father, and it was when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, both as God and man, that he was praying to his Father. But not just in the Garden of Gethsemane, all his whole life Jesus prayed to his Father. But it is a very interesting way that you put it, Nico. I really like the insight that you have, that because Jesus is God, there's a sense in which we can say that God was praying to God. The Son of the Father was praying to the Father. But you know, do you know what Jesus was also saying in so many of his prayers to the Father, Nico? He was saying, Father, I love you, I adore you, and I want to do your will. Jesus teaches us to pray in the same way. I hope that helps a little bit, Nico. Does it?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome, Nico.
I would say Nico found that marginally helpful, Father, from the tone of
voice. I'm sorry.
No, they can't all be home runs. Yeah, kind of. Okay.
I mean, how do you talk about the Blessed Trinity to someone who's 9 years old?
I don't know how you talk about the Blessed Trinity with someone who's 60 years old.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
it's a. I mean, I suppose one of the skills we develop as we age is the skill of saying that I trust in that, I accept that, but it is beyond me. I have to be humble in front of it.
Right.
Nico, great call. Thanks for that. A whole bunch more callers, and we're going to try to get to all of you right after this break. We'll be right back with more Kids Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live. Do you want to end abortion? Halt the attack on traditional marriage?
and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I love listening to Catholic Radio. It's perfect. It provides peace and it builds us up and strengthens us. We listen to it whenever we're in the car. My husband and I love it. He got me started with it before he even became a Catholic. He owns his own business, and so he's working by himself, and he listens to Catholic Radio, and he's called in several times too. It's using the technology that we have for good.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and it is Friday. And one of the things we do on Friday is take at least an hour to just take kids' questions. We got an absolutely wonderful guest for that purpose today, Father Paul Jerome Keller, theologian and teacher of sacramental and theology at St. Mary's of the West Seminary in Cincinnati. He was the president of the Society for Catholic Liturgy, and he's a writer of many, many things, including A Year with the Eucharist, his new book. And I will recommend you get that book, A Year with the Eucharist, and you can each day have a different reflection on the Eucharist and grow closer to the Lord who gives himself to us there. 888-318-7884 is the number. Next up is Nicholas in Texas. Nicholas, are you there with us?
Yes.
Nicholas, how old are you?
I am 9.
All right. 9-year-old Nicholas, your question for Father Paul Keller.
I was wondering how heaven looks like, because a lot of kids tell me that it's just a bunch of clouds.
Oh. Nicholas, do you think that's true?
No.
No, I think you're absolutely right. It's not just a bunch of clouds. What does heaven look like? Well, not having been there, I can't tell you what it looks like, but I can tell you that it does not, that it's got to be more than clouds. And here's why I know that. First of all, God lives in heaven, and God deserves all the rich, all the splendor of the world, like a great king, right? Like, if you were a king, Nicholas, what would you have around you? You'd probably have lots of beautiful stuff, right? You'd have, and you'd have great food, right? You'd have, probably have tons of ice cream and cake for dessert all the time, right? Or pie or whatever, right? So imagine God is not like any human king. He is the King of Kings. And so heaven must be absolutely beautiful, absolutely splendid to look at. And he, God, wants us to be there with him for all eternity. That, and some people have said, is going to be like a big party in heaven. What they mean by that is not that it's going to be an actual party, but that it's going to be as happy or happier than any party you've ever been at. Like, it's going to be happier than Christmas, right? It's going to be happier than your birthday. It's going to be amazing. So what will it look like? It's going to be beyond words. And the Bible tells us that we cannot even begin to imagine. It's going to be so awesome, so splendiferous, that we cannot even begin to imagine what it's going to look like. So I can guarantee you that's more than clouds, because I can imagine what clouds look like. Right, Nicholas?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Great.
Nicholas, thank you very, very much for your call. We're really happy that you got through. And I hope we'll all see each other in heaven sometime. Lucy is up next. Lucy is in Indiana. Lucy, are you there with us? Hi, Lucy. Lucy, are you there with
us?
Hi. Hi, Lucy. How old are you?
9.
Okay. And Lucy, what is your question for Father Keller?
Did Adam and Eve still go to heaven after when they disobeyed God?
That's a very good question, Lucy. When Jesus died for us, and rose from the dead, one of the first things he did after his death and as part of his resurrection from the dead was to go down into the gates of Sheol, we say, right? The place where Adam and Eve were being kept because of their sin, and rescued them and took them to heaven. So in the grander tradition of the church, we would say yes, that they did go to heaven, that they became, that Jesus made them saints, and that they, in fact, there is a feast day on the calendar, the old Roman calendar for Adam and Eve. I think it's December 24th, if I'm not mistaken, but I'd have to double check that.
Well, that would make sense. You would remember the fall before then the next thing would be the incarnation, the redemption of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The church believes Adam and Eve are in heaven. Lucy, is that answer okay with you?
Yes.
Well, Lucy, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
I was right. It is on December 24th. Yeah.
All right, up next is Wieslinder in Oregon. Wieslinder, are you there with us?
Yes.
And what is your... Oh, well, how old are you, Wieslinder?
I'm 11.
And tell me this. Did I pronounce your name correctly or wrongly?
Wrongly.
And would you please pronounce it correctly?
Yes. Wieslinder.
Ah, thank you very much. I will remember that next time you call.
This is my first time.
I'd have remembered it if you had called before, because you have a very noble and impressive name. What is your question for Father?
Why did Jesus want or why did Jesus send the demons into the pigs?
When he cast the demons out of that one man, you mean, Wieslinder? Why did he do that? It's because he was actually... These questions are blowing my mind, because these are questions that the great scholars ask
right? Yes.
So this is very much debated. Like, was Jesus actually showing mercy to the swine? To the demons, because they did not, rather than sending them back into hell, he sent them into the swine. This is a very debated question about why he did that. Now, part of it is to show that the Jews always thought that the swine or pigs were unhealthy animals, and that they would never eat pork or any element of the swine. So, so to send the devils into the swine was also a way of showing people how bad the devils actually were. So there are a couple of ways of looking at it, but it's a lot more detailed when we start thinking about what the devils were asking, because they actually said, send us into the swine. They asked Jesus to do that, and so he permitted it. And this is a very interesting but deep question, and I'm not sure I have the total answer at this point. I am sorry to say.
Wieslinder, what do you make of that?
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks very much.
Fortunately, there are no people arguing. They don't argue with
me. No.
They're very kind.
Yes, they are. Kids are. That's true. But you've been on many times with adults, so, you know, we get plenty of arguments.
Somebody will make up for it next time.
Right. If you need, we'll have you on again. Well, I think you are on it. Are you on next week? You doing the show with us?
I think I am, yes.
Yeah. So I'm sure we'll get some argumentative adults for you.
Let's not pray for that.
To make up for all these nice and generous kids. Evan in Columbus, Ohio, which I believe is in the same state as in Cincinnati, Ohio. Are you there with us, Evan?
Yeah.
And how old are you, Evan?
13.
And do you have a question for Father Keller?
Yeah. What made him become a priest, and how old was he when he wanted to become a priest?
Wow, Evan, thank you for asking that question. It's been a long time since anybody has asked me that. Can I ask you a question first, though? Do you know of the church called St. Patrick's in Columbus?
Yes.
Are you familiar with that church? So the Dominicans are at that church, and they're the same group of Dominicans that I belong to. So so if you see any of them, you can tell them that we talked on the radio.
They wear white.
Okay. Yeah, they wear white. Yeah, if you ever go there any time. Okay, so what made me become a priest, and how old was I when I first started thinking about it? Let me answer that part first. I was about 7 years old, and here's what happened. My mom used to take us to Mass all the time, even on weekdays sometimes, and I was always fascinated by watching the priest celebrate the Mass. And the priest at the church where we went to Mass, he was a really, really nice priest. In fact, he used to come to our house to visit sometimes. And so I really liked him, and I looked up to him a lot. And I felt like God wanted me to be a priest. It was something inside me, and that I felt God was saying. Well, I was 7 years old, and you know, I thought about other things. I also thought about becoming a doctor. At one point, I really, really wanted to be a neurosurgeon, a doctor that works on the brain, and other things. So I went through different phases. But I'd have to say the thing that most made me want to be a priest is a sense that I had in my soul that God wanted me to be a priest, that he was calling me to be a priest. But I also was fascinated by all the things that priests did, most especially when they celebrate Mass, when they change the bread and wine into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus. I was also very taken, very fascinated by the generosity and love that priests have for their people and how they give of themselves and how they pray to God and God gives them special gifts. And so I think it was all of that, Evan, that made me want to become a priest, most especially that I just felt like God was calling me. Now, I did not hear a voice or anything. I just had this interior feeling. I don't know how else to describe it to you when I was young. And that never really left. I tried at times to kind of get rid of it because there were times that I just did not want to do that. But then eventually I thought, well, it's why am I fighting God? It's stupid to fight against God. So I said yes. And then I went to the seminary, and then I got ordained a priest. And I've never been happier in my life because God uses me to help people in so many different situations in so many different ways, but most especially because I get to celebrate the sacraments.
Evan, how does that answer strike you?
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you, Father.
You're very welcome, Evan. God bless you.
And say hello to those Dominicans if you see them over there. You said St. Patrick's, Father, is where the Dominicans are?
St. Patrick's, yes.
Columbus,
St.
Ohio.
St. Patrick's in Columbus,
yeah. And they're dressing up like the Pope. I think we have time for Miranda in Texas. Miranda, are you there with us?
Yes.
Can you ask your question real quick to Father?
How did Jesus decide who the 12 apostles were?
Okay.
Well, Miranda, that's a very good question. From what we can tell in the gospel, it seems that Jesus, first of all, prayed and asked for his Father's will to be done. But also, I'm sure that he looked at the qualities that those 12 apostles had, those 12 disciples, that he looked at their lives and saw that they had the ability to do the kinds of things that he would want them to do.
Miranda, you did ask that question quickly. Thank you very much for that. Father Paul Jerome Keller, may we have your blessing before we go?
I'd be honored. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. And that's one of those things you were describing to Evan, where you do us all good by offering us God's blessing.
Amen.
You are a blessing to us, Father. I want people to remember your book. Your new book is A Year with the Eucharist. The publisher, who publishes that book?
St. Benedict Press, part of TAN.
St. Benedict
and Publishing.
Fair enough. A Year with the Eucharist from Father Paul Jerome Keller. That does it for us for the work week. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.